It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. Illinois Senate President John Cullerton plans a vote this week on a measure that would require some corporations to reveal their income tax bills. Cullerton and House Majority Leader Barbara Flynn Curry say two-thirds of corporations in Illinois do not pay any income tax, but state officials don't know who they are. The Chicago Democrats announced their proposal today on the first day of the Illinois legislature's fall veto session. Cullerton and Curry say the proposal would help lawmakers decide future tax policy and whether corporate tax breaks are working. Publicly traded companies would have to post online the amount of corporate income taxes they paid 2 years prior to the publication. Business groups, however, contend tax bills are confidential. They say lawmakers know how much each business tax break they create costs overall and can decide policy based off of that. University of Illinois graduate employees camped out at the Illini Union last night ahead of continued contract talks today with the U of I's administration. The graduate employees organization Stephanie Sewell says negotiations have stalled on issues like wages, health care, and tuition waivers. Speaking Monday after a four-hour bargaining session, Sewell said the federal mediator facilitating those talks indicated the administration is working on a proposal to present to the GEO.
Cautiously optimistic that they are going to give us a real proposal, but we have high expectations. We feel that we've made significant concessions, and we expect that they're going to meet us in a way that we can get this done tomorrow. And we're staying here in the hope that that will help facilitate that.
Earlier this month, the GEO passed a strike authorization vote, but it is holding off on calling a strike until it reviews all options to settle the contract. The U of I says it's confident the two sides can reach an agreement. Barring any petition challenges or write-in candidates, the stage is set for spring municipal elections in Champaign and Urbana. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows reports.
The city of Urbana will hold a Democratic primary on February 26th for races including city clerk and township assessor. But the high-profile race will be between Laurel Prussing, seeking a third term as mayor, and former city employee Les Stratton. The winner of that primary will run against Republican Rex Bradfield in the April 9th election. Aldermanic candidates in Urbana are unopposed in their wards. The only contested race on the nonpartisan Champaign City Council is a three-way contest in District 1 between incumbent William Kyles, former Councilmember Gina Jackson, and Dwayne Hubbard Sr. In the City of Champaign Township races, Democrats are challenging the Republican incumbents, Wayne Williams against incumbent assessor Brian Christie and Andrew Kornstrom against incumbent supervisor Pam Borowski. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
The word yesterday at a legislative hearing in Springfield, if the country goes off the so-called fiscal cliff at the end of the year, it could have a drastic effect on the state of Illinois. Brian Mackey reports.
Most of the attention on the fiscal cliff has been focused on the federal government, but a sudden increase in federal tax rates, combined with federal spending cuts, would likely have a significant effect on Illinois state government. Natalie Davila is research director at the Illinois Department of Revenue. She says there could be a significant drop in economic growth, retail sales, and workers' wages.
Under a non-fiscal cliff scenario, we have wages and salaries growing at a projected 3.3% in fiscal year 14. Under a pessimistic fiscal cliff scenario, that number falls to 1.1%.
On top of that, Davila says 90,000 people stand to lose unemployment benefits at the end of the year, which would mean a loss of tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue. I'm Brian Mackey.
The Illinois agency that oversees state parks wants lawmakers to raise the license plate renewal fee. Amanda Vinicky reports it's the second attempt to hike the cost.
With the 50% cut in state funding over the past decade, the Department of Natural Resources has seen the condition of state parks deteriorate.
This agency is a shell of what it used to be back in the glory days.
That's DNR's Chris McLeod, who says the agency isn't trying to relive those days, but he says it is in bad need of a boost.
Without more revenue to be able to hire staff that mows the grass and maintains the grounds and can do some of these backlog maintenance projects that are at our state parks, then they will not be what the public deserves.
That's the argument being made to legislators who are back in Springfield for the veto session. In the spring, the Illinois House gave the go-ahead to tacking $2 onto the annual cost to renew license plates. That measure also created or increased a smattering of fees, like those charged for using a public beach or registration of a motorboat. But it came up three votes short in the Senate, where some legislators say education and other causes need extra revenue first. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The head of the Indiana State Police is telling lawmakers he would legalize and tax marijuana if it were up to him. State Police Superintendent Paul Whitesell told members of the State Budget Committee today he had followed the issue during 40 years in law enforcement and believed it is here, it's going to stay. He cited votes in Colorado and Oregon allowing adults to have small amounts of marijuana as evidence of a national shift on the issue. His answer came in response to a question from Democratic Representative Sheila Klinker about pending proposals to decriminalize small amounts of the drug. Democratic Senator Karen Tallien has proposed decriminalizing marijuana, and Republican Senator Brent Steele said he would consider a similar measure during the upcoming legislative session. In 2 weeks, the Homer Village Board will examine draft proposals for providing treated water and sewer services to a proposed coal mine in Vermilion County. But the village's mayor says any contract regarding hundreds of thousands of gallons of raw water won't be discussed until January. Some of the 60 people at last night's special board meeting were concerned whether Sunrise Coal could use eminent domain to seize land if a contract with the village is approved, and asked why Sunrise couldn't bring its own water supply. Others questioned the future of their own private wells with a possible coal mine that uses more than 300,000 gallons of raw water a day. Homer Mayor David Lucas says the village doesn't have the authority to start drilling more wells to the detriment of its neighbors.
If the aquifer cannot safely sustain that withdrawal over a long period of time, they will not permit the well. So we cannot then drill it and install the pump and run it and operate it. There is that safeguard that's there for people around the area if we wanted to drill an additional well.
Village Attorney James Rhodes says state law requires a number of government agencies to review any village request for large amounts of water. The Homer Village Board's next regular meeting is set for December 10th. And the U.S. Marshals Service has announced it will hold an online auction to sell furniture and other property once owned by a Northern Illinois comptroller who admitted to stealing $53 million in taxpayer money. The online auction of Rita Crundwell's former possessions will be December 6th through the 8th at professionalauction.com. Crundwell pleaded guilty earlier this month to stealing the money from the city of Dixon, where she was comptroller until earlier this year. U.S. Marshal Daryl McPherson of the Northern District of Illinois says a computer lab will be available for people in the community of Dixon who want to participate. The U.S. Marshal Service is responsible for managing and selling seized and forfeited properties acquired by federal criminals through illegal activities. You can find more news anytime at will.illinois.edu. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.